You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
It's the KSL Greenhouse. Expert tips for flowers, trees, gardens, and soil. Our hosts are Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. This morning, Ton and I are joined by Sheridan Hansen, which listeners are pretty familiar with now. Sheridan's with us. Or Sheridan is with us. I'll wake up here. I know I'm going to wake up any minute. Sheridan's been with us a number of times and has done a number of wonderful videos. So, Sheridan, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
You are so sweet, and I'm so excited to be here. Thanks so much for having me, both of you.
We wanted to start out with the plant of the week, which is the forsythia, which I know neither one of you love the forsythia. But the thing about the forsythia is it's like our hope for a gardening season because it is the first, it's pretty much the first bush that starts to bloom where you actually are seeing some flowers.
Winter hazel. No, I'm just kidding.
I heard
Ton already knows how
this morning
I feel about winter hazel.
You don't like winter hazel.
Well, it is just so yeah. weird looking.
It is odd. I think
like
for planting
Cynthia, a spider.
It can look just as odd too. I mean, not spidery like witch hazel, but yeah, I agree with that hope. Like the forsythia gives you that spring is coming. I've made it through winter, one more winter, right? And it's going to get better. But I also think, like, forsythia, you know, in my mind, if you don't plant the right variety, it looks like somebody just stepped out of the house out of bed and didn't put any effort into how they look. Mm-hmm. So that's my feeling about forsythia.
Yeah, but, you know, with my kind of caution about the shrub when it's, you know, not in bloom, when it comes into bloom in the spring, there's nothing that beats it. Even other flowering shrubs cannot compare to how beautiful the forsythia is for that 2 or 3 weeks that it's in bloom.
Right. There's no doubt when you're driving down the street and you've just come off winter where everything is just like twigs and stuff, when you see that vibrant yellow, it definitely grabs your attention.
Yeah. What better color to have right off the bat than yellow, like so happy, so bright, so in your face.
It is. And so we've posted a fact sheet of several varieties that you can find online or purchase from local garden centers. And over the last 10 or 15 years, there's been a lot of introductions, many introductions that will grow anywhere from a couple feet high up to 10 to 12 feet high. Many of them have improved bud hardiness or better showy flowers. And so, you know, there's some old, the old fashioned Linwood Gold, and there's a few others out there that are fine, but a lot of these newer varieties, you know, for smaller lots are very useful because they only get 2 or 3 feet tall.
Well, and I would argue even not for smaller lots, but because they do look like a better specimen. I mean, it's a much better look to have a shorter, less gangly looking shrub that you're trying to control with pruning cuts, which, I mean, let's face it, a lot of the times with forsythia, they end up being not great pruning cuts. It doesn't ever look awesome with those big, huge, gangly shrubs. So even in large spaces, I would argue that some of these forsythias that are smaller can be planted in mass or multiples of 3 or 5, and you can really get a beautiful splash of color first thing in the spring.
We know people love their forsythia, though.
Oh, yeah.
I know we've entered some dangerous territory here because people love them. And I think they're more for people who don't want so much of a formal garden. They are kind of more free thought people,
oh, yeah.
I guess, you know, so that kind of more gangly, spread out kind of look doesn't bother them as much as somebody who wants to keep their plants under control.
And, you know, that's the thing with forsythia is if you are going to prune it, keep it in that natural state, in my mind anyway. There are people that will hedge it. Oh. And I just come out of my skin. I'm like, oh, please don't do that. It makes it look so unnatural. And I think it looks best in that natural state.
So if you're going to prune it as soon as it's done blooming, you're going to use renewal pruning where you're taking 20, 25, 30%, usually around 20 to 25% of the branches out, starting with the biggest, oldest branches toward the base of the shrub. And what this will do is keep the size under control, but it will not hedge it. And if you hedge it, what will happen is you'll have this hedge shrub for 6 or 8 weeks, and then it shoots new growth. And the new growth is very extensive, and it just makes a mess. And so renewal pruning will keep the shape more natural, keep it in check, keep it blooming a lot the next year, and just helps keep its form a little better, even if you have the smaller shrubs.
Is it fair to say that forsythia just wants its space, like it wants to just spread out?
It does. It wants to be that glorious, you know, have that glorious bloom in the spring and be that center of attention, I think. And I think it's fine to let it be
that. So if you're going to plant it, give it its space?
Give it its space, yeah, 100%.
Appropriate use for forsythia is someplace in the yard that is visible so you can enjoy the beauty of the shrub, but not the focal point of especially your front yard. You know, for the 2 or 3 weeks that you get the flowers, there are many other things you could put there that will be much more formal. And I don't want to say attractive, because beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but will be something that I think a lot more people would accept and say, yeah, that is a focal point. That should be something saying, you know, this is leading to my front door, or yes, this is my house.
Yeah.
Well, and it is beautiful in the spring.
Absolutely.
When it's blooming. How long does it actually bloom, though?
A couple weeks, if you're lucky. I think it depends
so
on temperature.
Get 2 weeks of really beautiful blooms and then kind of gangly
if
bush.
The temperatures are in the mid-50s to low-60s. It can last at least 2 weeks. And what will happen is the flowers are still on the shrub, but the leaves start to grow and obscure the flowers, and then they start to drop.
Okay, before we break, though, Sheridan, you were talking about one forsythia that you did like that you
saw
overseas, but we're not sure if we can get it here.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it comes here. And it was stunning. And I was somewhere in Europe. I can't remember exactly where. But it was like a prostrate, kind of rambling, low to the ground forsythia. And it looked almost like a river of yellow. And it was beautiful. And, you know, being in a foreign country, all that, I didn't get all the details for it, but I do know that we make some low growing types, and they are listed on that fact sheet. So something to maybe consider
depending on the look you want.
Yeah. And there are once in a while forsythia that are grafted onto a standard, people I guess would call them tree form. They're not really going to be a tree, it's just more they're on a single trunk and then the shrub is there. And I have seen some of the weeping forms, almost like a weeping cherry. They're a little bit more upright, but that same feel. And so when you do find them like that, you do need to stake them for a number of years until the trunk is strong enough to support the canopy. But those are occasionally available too.
All right. Plant of the week for forsythia. You can find out more on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. We're going to take a break. Come back with your calls and questions.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
I'm Jeff Kaplan from KSL News Radio. You want to receive the latest news, traffic, and weather all in one place? All you have to do is subscribe to the KSL text line Text the word NEWS to 57500 and you'll get the latest news, traffic, and weather updates. Sometimes before we get them on the air. I'll catch you on the radio weekday afternoons on KSL News Radio.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season two of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis, Sheridan Hansen joining us this morning. Taking your calls and questions, Drew is first on the line this morning. Good morning, Drew. How can we help you?
Good morning. I have a hedge that I've made out of red dogwood, and it's about 4.5 feet high, and I'd like to reduce its height to about 3 feet. Can I do that, what time?
Oh, absolutely. You can do that. If it's a hedge, you're going to just take hedging pruners and go for it. And that can be done early spring. Just hedging pruners. You can take, an electric hedging shear if you would like to. That will make your job a lot easier rather than having, a pruner that you're going to have to cut every single branch if you're doing a hedge. And that will help it fill in and become really nice and thick. But you can do that early spring.
Great. I'm looking forward to March. Thank
awesome.
You.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks so much for your call this morning. The first texter of the morning has 3 flowering crab apples. They've never pruned them. They want to know when would be a good time.
The crab apples are generally pruned in mid-February. Just the reason you prune in mid-February is that it helps prevent the spread of a disease called fire blight. And if you prune later, into mid-March when we do the stone fruits, oftentimes fire blight is becoming active and it has active cankers that are oozing and you get your pruners in it. And so we prune a little earlier and the crab apples and other apples and pears will tolerate pruning during colder weather than other fruit trees will.
Aren't you going to cut off all the blooms though?
Not really. If you only take 25% of the foliage, there will still be plenty of blooms there.
Flowers are my whole reason for gardening. So if you take away the flowers, I'm not going to be so happy.
Yes.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Okay. So number to call with your questions and the phone lines are open 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Next listener says they have a rose of Sharon and it looks like it has cotton strings coming out of it. What is that?
Ooh. That
cotton strings? I have never heard that.
I haven't heard of strings. I mean, we have things like woolly aphids that can sometimes show up, but they wouldn't be stringy.
No, I'm trying to think of anything beyond spider webs. Pictures are worth 1,000 words here, most likely.
Okay, so absolutely. Facebook Messenger is the only way to send us pictures.
Do not text us pictures.
So last week, Ton, people got super excited about gardening because we had 2 or 3 days where we were like, close to 60 degrees or over 60 degrees. And today people are thinking, I don't know, it's back to winter and freezing, so not as many calls and questions.
It's actually times like this that I think are a benefit because it just calms people down and just, that rela harse, tranquilo, just calm down. It is February. And even though we were 60 for a few days, you've got until at least mid-March, especially without seasonal protection, the low tunnels and different things to plant.
So people do get excited. They pull out the shears and think they can just start doing all sorts of things. So what are kind of the dangers of starting to trim everything out in the yard?
Not a lot. I mean, you will sacrifice.
You can cut some of those branches off the euonymus and it's not going to be a big deal.
No. And mid-March is the time to do it, but it looks like this weather pattern is holding that we're going to be in the 40s and 50s with a high 20s at night. And if weather is like that and doesn't drop much lower, then the pruning danger isn't really there for a lot of our shrubs. But if we were to go out and do a bunch of pruning and then all of a sudden drop back down to 5 degrees or 10 degrees, then you could do a lot of damage. And so we always tell people, that mid-March for most shrubs and your stone fruits is because that danger of the temperature dropping isn't there nearly as much as it is in February. But if you have to, because you're busy with work, going out of town or whatever, relying on a commercial service, as long as the temperatures stay above 10 degrees, especially for your fruit trees, for 7 to 10 days after they're pruned, then you can generally go ahead and do it this time of year.
We were talking about some of the things are starting to come up. We're starting to see a few little greens from the crocus and things because of those warmer temperatures. You mentioned you had somebody who was concerned about their garlic maybe suffering as a result. And so what's your best advice for someone like that?
Well, they had covered the garlic in stir manure, trying to keep the stir manure breaks down and stays warm. And don't do that because it's just kind of icky for it's an edible and just... Yeah, and so if you need to do that, Sheridan has done this before, and maybe I'll let her describe what she does with garlic.
Yeah, so I mulch on top with a really nice thick layer of straw, and sometimes the garlic will still pop through the straw, and you may get a little bit of tip burn on some of those leaves if we have a really cold night, but it's okay. The garlic is going to continue to grow. You're not going to kill that garlic, but having that really thick layer of leaf mulch or straw, I found straw just to be the absolute best for garlic because it is porous, it allows air, it allows water to move through, and it doesn't smother things, where sometimes leaves will bunch up and get, you know, they'll hold a lot of moisture, and that can cause some problems for your garlic. You know, we don't want to promote any kind of rot or too much moisture. So I just think straw is awesome. So stop by a local farm store, talk to your neighbor who may have, you know, animals, and see if you can purchase a bale of straw, and that will really help. And people always worry about the weeds that come up from straw. You're going to have a few. It's not excessive. The great thing about it is it's coming up in straw bedding, and it's really easy to pull out. So it's not something I typically worry about, but people do have that thought quite often.
Now, you answered my big question is, where in the world do I get straw? I mean, during Halloween, I know where to get it, but where do I get it this time?
So IFA, local farm stores.
Yeah, independent farm stores.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll definitely have it.
Go ahead.
If you jump on KSL Classifieds, there are often farmers selling straw and hay by the 50-pound bale. And so you may be able to find it if you live, you know, I'm down in Santaquin and we still have a lot of farms. If you're in, you know, near the Great Salt Lake or northern Davis into Weber, Box Elder counties, you can sometimes find it for $3 or $4 less a bale from one of the local farmers than you can from a retailer. But it's just really easy to go into, especially IFA, and pick up a bale of straw.
Yeah. In Holiday, I don't have any farm neighbors, so I'd be in big trouble.
Yeah, you just got to find that farm store. And we should talk about, there's definitely a difference between straw and hay. And make sure you don't pick up hay. Straw has a hollow center that will hold air in it and will become a good insulator. Hay doesn't have that necessarily. So
denser, yeah. Wasting animal feed.
Absolutely. And it's going to have a lot more seed in it, where straw will be a lot less. So make sure you pick up the right product.
It's good to make that distinction for me personally.
Yeah. For everybody, I think.
Okay,
yeah.
Not just me. Okay. Next listener says, when should they prune a snowberry bush? I'm not sure I know what a snowberry bush
Snowberries is. Snowberries are a shade-tolerant plant. We have some native species. There's the group is native to the northern hemisphere, and their claim to fame, depending on the species, like snowberry has a white berry on it midsummer through fall. And then the related species like coral berry has this really pretty purple berry, and they will tolerate dry shade quite well. And so they're not super common. They are available, but they're very useful in those dry shade areas. And so when I would prune them, they're going to flower in the spring. And so you definitely would not want to give them a haircut, and you would use renewal pruning. And you could do some pruning if you didn't take more than 25% of the branches out in either mid-March, or you could wait till they were done blooming and do that sometime in mid to late April.
All right. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come back with your calls and questions. Phone lines are open. 801-575-8255. Text us 57500.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did you know you can get the three things you need to know delivered right to you? Just go to KSLNewsRadio.com, click on menu, and then newsletter.
Or go to the KSL News Radio app, and you click on menu, and then it's email alerts.
This is even easier. Just text the word inbox to 57500.
Get the top national and local stories with the three things you need to know newsletter.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind. Until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis, Sheridan Hansen with you this morning, taking your calls and your questions. We'll take your calls at 801-575-8255, your questions at 57500. Rick is on the line in Orem, and good morning, Rick. What can we help you with?
Hang on. Yes, I've got a question about fruit trees. Question is, question I have is, I'm replacing some fruit trees, taking out apple trees and putting in peach trees. Do I need to fumigate the soil? Can I put one fruit variety in where another has been there, whether it's peach apple or apple apple? How do I replace trees adequately properly?
We don't generally have a lot of problems with replant disease here that they experience in other parts of the country, and especially if you're following from apple to peach or even apple to apple, you'll be okay. There's nothing that you could purchase to fumigate the soil with anyway that you could get without a restricted use license, and they're only registered for agricultural use. So, I mean, if you wanted to try something, you would have to literally grow broccoli or a cabbage and get it up 6 inches to a foot and then till it under and cover it with plastic for a week or two to do some natural fumigation. And it's just not worth it. And there's very minimal risk. So I would just go ahead and do what you plan on doing.
Okay.
All right.
We're good.
Thanks so much for your call.
Thank you very much.
Next listener says, how can you best help a mature bur oak with iron chlorosis? They've had the trunk injected for the past couple of years with some success, but they're wondering if there's something else they can do.
Well, we were kind of hashing through this on the break, and honestly, bur oak is a really tough tree that's very well adapted to the Utah soil conditions that we have. I'm wondering if there's some overwatering going on that would induce that iron chlorosis, because that's not something we typically see in that tree, right, Ton?
It's not. And the only other factors I could think of is if there is an internal vascular wilt disease that's clogging some of the conductive tissue and preventing nutrient uptake. And there's nothing you can do about that. And then excessively salty soil, but oak trees will tolerate salty soil up to an EC, electrical conductivity, of about 2.5 or 3 before they're really impacted. And so I would suspect too much water or maybe a wilt disease that it's tolerating but not thriving because of it.
Yeah.
Next listener says they planted raspberries last year. They did well. They didn't do any pruning or anything to them before the winter. They're wondering if they should be doing some pruning this spring.
Absolutely. Raspberries do need to be pruned. It depends on what type of raspberry you have, if it's a summer bearing or a fall bearing, or sometimes June bearing or fall bearing is what they're referred to as. And that will kind of dictate how you prune. USU has some excellent fact sheets that go through the entire process of pruning raspberries. So based on that type of fact sheet, I would say to you, type in pruning raspberries, and then put summer bearing or fall bearing and USU in your search bar, and it will pop right up for you. But fall bearing, you know, you can take down to the ground. Summer bearing or June bearing are a little more complicated in that we have to identify raspberry canes that are 1 to 2 years old and take out the appropriate canes.
Next listener says they've had leaf hoppers on their grapes for the past 5 years. They've used permethrin, spinosad, etc., but they continue to return. They say last week while cleaning up, they were like me out cleaning up leaves last week, they noticed them hibernating in and under the dried leaves, which are now removed. Is there anything to use now to kill them before the grapes come out?
What would you think of a delayed dormant spray?
I think you could do it if you did it early enough on the grapes. And
so we're talking
sensitive.
Sooner.
Yeah.
But then if they come back in midsummer, unfortunately, permethrin spinosad it's not going to cut the mustard. You're going to have to use permethrin or something a little bit higher power to get rid of them just because of the numbers. I mean, if you monitor and when you first see them, start spraying. But with leaf hoppers, you have to spray the undersides of the leaves, not just the surface.
Yeah, which is hard to do.
Yeah, they're saying that these are near a walkway, which makes it even more more pesky. They're wondering if there's some sort of dredge or beneficials or host plants, diatomaceous earth, anything they can do.
I wouldn't do a systemic just because we're going to be eating that fruit.
Yeah, so systemics are out.
Yeah, so that makes it a little bit tougher. And the thing with leafhoppers is they move. So you may get rid of a population. You've got more moving, and they're difficult to deal with.
I've been recommending people use maybe like the Pet Garden and Livestock that's 10% permethrin as a spray to knock them back. And they're spraying under the leaves inside the plants and then shift over to spinosad or triple action or something once a week for 3 or 4 weeks to see if they can knock out any eggs that are hatching or any younglings, so to speak, to go that way.
I think that's a good idea because, you've got multiple action that will help from different types of chemicals. And then you are reapplying. And
yes.
I think that's the key right there.
It is. And the other thing with grapes is if you are not pruning your grapes and they are just a big mess of vines and you can't, and the vines are going clear to the ground, you're not going to get rid of leaf hopper. The grapes need to be pruned and you need to have airspace underneath with that controlled growth to really control them. And so if they've been growing on a chain link fence for 30 years, never pruned, it's going to be much more difficult to get rid of them. And in that situation, you may need to use a systemic and just not harvest the grapes for a year to see if you can get rid of them.
Right.
All right. Jim is on the line in Bountiful. Jim, what was your question?
Is it time to start pruning fruit trees?
On some of them, yes, absolutely. So apples, pears, as long as our temperatures are staying above 10 degrees at night, you can do some of those more hardy, tough types of fruit trees. I would wait on the stone fruits, so peaches and plums, things like that, until a little bit later in the season, usually mid-March. So we usually start mid-February with those tougher trees, and then we move to the more tender trees into mid-March.
So like the apricots, you wait until a little later on, not... Just the seed fruit you prune now?
Yeah, well, apricots are a little bit tougher. What do you think about that, Ton?
If you can, I would wait until mid-March. But if you just have that need to get out there and start pruning stuff, you're probably going to be okay just because the apricots, they bloom early, but they're a little more cold hardy than the other stone fruits.
You can go ahead and...
No. Apples and pears you can prune now. The stone fruit, so the apricots, peaches, cherries, mid-March. So you've got another month on those.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right, Jim. Thanks for your call this morning. Joe is texting in. He's a first-time seed grower. He needs a little bit of help here. He's using a grow box with lighting and a heat mat. The lights are 3 to 4 inches above the soil. They're on for about 12 hours a day. He says his onion and lettuce seedlings are long and spindly and wants to know what he's doing wrong and does he need to fertilize.
I'm wondering if the temperature's too high. So a lot of the times with some of these colder hardy varieties of vegetables like onion and lettuce, they can tolerate a little bit lower temperature. So once they germinate, get them off that heat mat. And that will help to reduce the growth because sometimes the growth is too fast and then we get some kind of gangly things. And also, I mean, it sounds like he's got the lights really low. You want him to be an inch or two above if you can. If you can lower him just a little bit and take that temperature down, it might help a bit.
So now that they're gangly, is there going to be any way to kind of, I mean, does he have to start over?
No, I think the onions will be fine. I mean, the lettuce, it's such a short-lived crop anyway. Let it grow, let it do its thing, start your next batch. Because with lettuce, you're going to want to be continually sowing every couple of weeks anyway. So, because it just, you're going to use it so quickly.
Okay, we're going to take a break, come back with more of your calls and questions. Number to call, 801-575-8255.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria, Ton, and Sheridan with you this morning. Number to call, 801-575-8255. Text us, 57500. Next texter says they have a tree of paradise that they poisoned with concentrated Roundup last fall. When can they start cutting it down? This is Steve.
Well, I mean, as soon as it's dead, don't you think, Ton?
Yeah, I might wait to make sure it's not shooting any new growth.
I was going to say, how do you know it's dead?
And it may leaf out and then collapse like 3 weeks later. Not literally, but the leaves wither because there's sometimes stored energy in the branches, but the roots might be dead and the branches may not be completely there. But I wouldn't get ahead of myself just in case, because if it's still alive and you cut that trunk, it might make it angry.
Right. And you want to make sure that those trees are really good and dead. And I applaud you for killing that tree. Thank you. That's such an odd thing to say, but thank you.
No. When the next person says, when is the best time to prune a red bud? It's fairly large, has fairly large limbs that hit them in the head when they're mowing. They need to prune a bit.
Oh, you know, they're in the legume family. They flower early. You could prune it when it's nice and dormant. I mean, you don't want to lose that bloom, though. So what do you think, Ton? Would you wait?
If pruning it before May, it would recover just fine. But it's one of those things that you're torn because references will say, well, mid-January or mid-March or after it's done blooming. And all of them, I think, are okay. But I think the safest time is probably now if it's just one or two limbs.
Okay.
Just, you will lose some flowers and it may try to shoot a whole bunch of new branches where you cut, but look up on how to make pruning cuts so that you don't cause more damage and don't leave stubs. But I would just get it out now.
Yeah, get it done with.
But don't cut more than about 20% of the canopy out of the tree.
Yeah, and honestly, with a red bud, I'd only cut the things that were hitting you in the head.
Yeah.
Our next listener says they read an article about a new purple tomato full of antioxidants, and they're wondering if that's real or if it's a gimmick. That's the problem with all this stuff out on social media, right?
Yeah, right. So you're constantly sifting through all the info trying to find out what's real. But yes, anthocyanins are the chemical, I guess you would say, the compound in the fruit that makes it turn purple. And yes, they are high in antioxidants. And in fact, I believe it's Burpee that has done some breeding for tomatoes that are extra high in antioxidants. So yes, they definitely are higher.
Okay. And we should mention that we're going to talk about heirloom tomatoes at the top of the hour. That's the top of the hour feature. So keep listening for that. Next person says, how early can they plant grass seed? They live in the Orem area about a mile from the lake.
Any time, but it won't germinate until the soil temperatures are 50 or 55 degrees. And so if you need to get it down, you can, but the dangers you run into are birds will come and pick at it because they're running out of food sources. And so you would also maybe want to put a quarter of an inch of finely ground mulch or peat moss over the top, and you could just let it sit and time it. You know, we're supposed to be fairly clear for the next week. I would time it with a rainstorm or a snowstorm if you have to. But I think the best time to do it, if you can wait, is sometime early to mid, maybe late April, depending on the weather.
Okay, next listener says their rose bushes have new growth because of those warm temperatures. Is that harmful? Will those branches die off?
I mean, if our temperatures drop really severely, they definitely could die off. I would just leave it, let it do its thing. Usually they'll harden themselves back off when the temperatures do drop, as long as it's not really fast and really sudden. So
my rose bushes still have leaves on them.
Yeah, so do mine. They never dropped, but they will this spring. Once they start pushing new growth, they should drop those old leaves.
When would folks want to start pruning their rose bushes?
Mid-March. And
put the pruners away. Don't touch the rose bushes.
We have to have these lessons to where we have to have people turn them over to a significant other that isn't the yard worker and hide them until it's time. But yeah, for your hybrid tea roses, those are the ones that you would cut and bring inside mid-March, and you cut them depending on the size. If it's a super old bush, then cut it back to 4 or 5 main canes around knee height, maybe a little shorter. If it's a newer one, you know, 3 or 4 years old, 2 or 3 main canes, and they'll come back. We like to get ahead of ourselves, but roses are actually, especially most of the hybrid teas, are very wimpy plants.
Oh, they are. They're just not tough at all. They're the prima donnas.
They are. They are. And there are some, the David Austin roses are a little better. They're more disease resistant. And some of the hybrid teas are more cold hardy, but they are barely hardy on the Wasatch Front.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, just be careful. And like Ton said, put the pruners away. Lock them up, because pruning can cause more problems right now for them. So
we only have a couple of minutes before the top of the hour news, but I did want to mention something that we were talking about earlier. We were talking about unique things that you can plant, unique vegetables. But the thing that really stands out, we need to tell folks, is if you want to start planting some of these more unique things, Sheridan, you found that they better do it quickly, find those seeds quickly.
Right. So if you are sourcing seeds from online catalogs or stores that way, you might want to start thinking about getting your seeds. Some of them are becoming difficult to find at this point. And especially in the online world, and as you are sourcing them, it's not just the local, you know, customer that's sourcing them. It's all over the country, all over the world that's sourcing them. So you're competing with all these people for seeds, and they do sell out quickly. And I've noticed like Johnny Seeds doesn't have some of the stock that they normally do. So Burpee's starting to sell out of some things. So get online and get your stuff ordered right away.
Yeah, we have talked to Sheridan a number of times in a number of videos on unique vegetables to plant in your garden. We've talked to her about extending the garden season. So any of those questions that you have, you can ask us during the show. And I do want to talk more later in the show with Sheridan about those unique vegetables. We seem to plant the same old cucumbers, the same old squash, the same. And there are just so many unique varieties that just add color and flavor to our food, to our meals.
Absolutely. I can't wait to talk about it.
Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. The plant of the week this morning was the forsythia, so you can check that out on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. And a reminder that you can always find the KSL Greenhouse in podcast form. So if you get kind of busy on a Saturday morning, but late in the afternoon, you just want to have something wonderful to listen to, you can pull up the podcast at kslpodcast.com. When we come back, we are going to be talking about heirloom tomatoes. That is another area of Sheridan's expertise, so we're going to talk about those. So stay with us. And again, the number to call, 801-575-8255, or text us, 57500.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.